Accession number 11377, Reel 5.
Mr. Bateman, Reel 5. Had you any first impressions of India getting off that boat, Mr. Bateman?
Well, the first impression, it was the dockside. We'd never experienced these docks since we left England. We didn't see much of it as we left England, Southampton, but Bombay docks seemed to be all different. And all hustle and bustle of the Indians. And we never saw much experience, because when we disembarked, we picked all our kit bags up and everything. We were all dressed in khaki. And we boarded the train straight on the dock side. And then the train set off, steam train it was, and it wasn't a luxury train, because all hard seats. There was no soft seats on it. And the seats, the carriages, was all adapted, because there was four of us in a compartment. And the seat we were sat on, either side, was one bed, when we put our bed. And then at the side, there was a one that you lifted up and fastened, and the other man slapped on the top. And we did the same as we were at the barracks, because on a morn we used to make our bed up and fold our blankets and everything up. And then we used to sit, get onto the... And then breakfast used to come. We used to stop for breakfast. And we used to get our breakfast. And then we had half an hour's PT.
At the side of the train?
The side of the train, up and down on the train.
It was a corridor train, was it?
No, when the train was stopped, and they said, right over, the PT, you have to have half an hour's PT before the train set up again. And then that was just keep our limb from getting stiff, I think it was. And it was every meal time, it was the same at dinner time, the train used to stop at a certain position, at these certain train stations. And the stations there weren't platforms like in England. You just have to go down, the ground was level with the railway. And they were all queued up for each carriage at a different place to go to. They were all ready, the Indians, they were quite good.
And was it European food you were getting, or Indian food?
Well, it was European food. Typical army. Stew and mashed potatoes and everything like. And the tea was quite good. And of course we had our mess tins. We had no plates. We had mess tins and a mug. And that was the same for dinner time. Half an hour spent, everything was washed. There was always provisions for, because we used to go along to the train engine, and you could turn hot water, so you get hot water from the engine and wash your mess tin out, and your cup, and your knife, fork and spoon.
What about washing yourselves over a journey of that length
well,
of time?
Well, that was the same. There was, not on the train, but on the engine, but on the train itself there was taps. There was, and the toilets was typical Indian. There was no seats. You had to sit on your hunkers. And you were advised not to use it while the train was in, as normal, you see.
Standing in the station.
And there was always a queue for it. And tea time, we used to come. And many time, we knew a PT that we were excused that PT again. But all we did was sit in the train. That's all they do, and the train was gone. There was nothing, because no corridor train. It wasn't a corridor train. And quite a long train as well, because every now and then there was, we were on the front end of the train, because we were going the furthest. And each one was allocated on one train, took all these regiments, and as they come to their place where they were getting taken off the train, the carriages were unhooked, And we eventually ended up in Bhadekpur station with one carriage.
Were you just going out as reinforcements to the battalion that was already there?
Reinforcement to the 2nd Battalion.
It was the 2nd Battalion
there. In Bhadekpur. And we didn't know where we were. We says, "Oh, we're going to get to where we're going now." Just hooked us off the train, got all our kit for. Then all of a sudden we heard a voice shout, "Draft this way." And it led us back to the barracks. And so we went, this is right, or this sergeant, it must have been an orderly sergeant. He went into one bungalow, one big barrack room it was. Like, there was two stories of it. We went upstairs, and this is right, or this is, "Get yourself bedded down here, as we'll see you in the morning." And he says, "Make sure you put your mosquito net down, because there's already for us. The bed is already made for us, and the mosquito nets." But the best laugh I got was when we come all of a sudden, early morning, there was the mosquito went up and a native with an Indian with a razor. He says, "Shave, Sab." And I nearly, I said, "Oh, she's going to come in." Because we'd never noticed him before, see. On the train, we used to shave ourselves, see.
So nobody had warned you that this
Nobody warned us over this. 5 o'clock in the morning, this bloke, this Indian comes with his... So we just laid in the pillow there, and he lathered us. He says, "It's all right, Sab." And he lathered us and gave us a shave, and away we went to the next one. And that was like that all the way through India. We never shaved ourselves, unless till we were on training. And we were always shaved by the nappy, the barber. So
were there other Indians doing work for you that you normally would have done in England yourselves, cleaning barracks and?
Yes, they were the kind of charpoys. This may be the charpoy was a bed. Indians, what they call a sweep. They used to do the verandas and all that around the barracks. But we all did our own barrack room.
You still cleaned your own barrack room?
No, and we did that barrack room there, we tied it up, and then we called out on parade and we allocated our companies. And I was sent to A Company. And so the order sergeant of A Company says, "Follow me." Like, I said, "Where do we go?" And he says, "You'll find out going." So we went about another mile up the road, and they were in tents. If you notice that photograph where we stood outside the tent. And I was allocated one platoon. I said, "It's funny." I says, "I was A Company, 1st Battalion." I said, "One platoon." And I was in one section, the same sections. And before I went out to India, I was told by an old pit colleague, miner, he says, "You'll find our Harry in the Durhams, and he's in India." So when I went out, I says, "Where's Harry Sparks at?" And he says, "I'm here." And he come out. I said, "Well, your father's told me to look you up." He says, "I had a letter from him to say to look up you." And I was put in his platoon. He was from Harry Sparks, he was from Witten Park. So I was with A Company. And then we went to on this manoeuvre. I can't remember. And they actually got kitted out with KD, with our shorts and khaki shorts and a shirt. And we had the long putties. And we used to have a horse top, a green horse top. We used to put all the socks on. And they used to put over the top. We used to pull this horse stocking with no feet or anything in, and we should pull it over the knees, put our putties on, and that had to be 3 inches below the knee, and it also had to be 3 inches wide, which was doubled. I think you can see in that one where with the long putties on, stand on guard. And we'll have to learn to put that on. That's how we'll dress now. And the shorts had to be 3 inches above the knee, from the centre of the kneecap to the bottom of the shorts was 3 inches. Also from there to there was 3 inches, so that you had 6 inches of bare leg showing.
Did you measure yourselves to make sure you were?
Well, we always have to put our four fingers, roughly our four fingers. He says, "Give you an idea, your four fingers."
Were you excited by...
Well, I was really excited. I said, no, I said, bah, this is somewhat strange to me. I said, and it's somewhat new. I said, I'm learning every time. And that's when I started going back to school again.
Was this compulsory, or did you have a choice?
Oh, yes, compulsory. Yes, you had to spend an hour each day at school. There was I think, was every other day.
And what were you being taught?
Well, basic English and arithmetic and history and everything. And then, because I'd got my third class certificate of education at the depot, and they said, right, oh, going for your second class certificate. Because in your second class certificate, you could be, if you passed, you could be chosen for the specialist platoons, such as the machine gunners or the signal platoon. And I didn't know that at the time, like, till we got on. So we did some Master Colner. I give you that paper there. But I can't remember much of that. Can't remember much of it because I was, my mind was more like a blank. I didn't know where, being in a strange place. I couldn't really remember. But I know it was a hard march. And we did manoeuvres. And then we came back to Ballyporgy again.
What kind of manoeuvres were we doing in India?
Well, just the same. Basically the same. Mm. It was marching. And then we're getting going to get you acclimatised. So, right, then A Company was in turn. They were going to Ishapore Rifle Factory. He had a former guard on the rifle factory there. That's where, you know, it was on centre guard. It was outside. But that's not inside the factory. That was on the barrack veranda. And that was mounted guard. We've got the ones like in England, you hadn't full pack on anything. You just had these leather pouches. But we had 15 rounds of ammunition and we had 5 rounds in the magazine, but none of the breech. And that was the same as on our tours. And at night time, we used to change our rifles to buckshot rifles. They were ordinary rifles, but they had a buckshot barrel. And they had buckshot cartridges. That's at the night time.
To counteract stealing or rain.
That's what it's raining. And then you'd do a guard on there one week, and then next week you go inside the factory. And at the factory gate, you have to make rifles, or the ammunition factory. And at night time, you didn't do it. We didn't do a guard in daytime down at the factory. We just went at night time. I think it was after the factory closed. I think it was about 5 or 6 o'clock.
And were you stationed down there for a period of time?
Yes, down there. We'll stay, I figure, how long we're stationed.
In the garden or someplace?
No, in the bungalow. And the whole company was down there. And they used to do these guards on this factory. And we used to go at night time and we used to patrol the factory round. We used to go around with the watchmen. And we had to five in the breach, in one up the breach, and four in the because they were the same, but they were buckshot cartridges, and the buckshot was the same rifle, but it had a buckshot barrel, and they told us that you'll shoot better, you'll hit somebody better, because the Afghans used to come and raid there, and they used to pinch parts of the rifles. And we used to go around with this watchman, and he used to, every now and then, to plug his clock in and go right round the whole factory. And by the time we walked, it was nearly all a sentry go gone. Because there was 2 sentries on. There was one at the gate, and one went round the factory. And we used to go around every hour. This watchman used to go around every hour. And if I went round first, I would come back, and then next hour, I would go on sentry go, and he would come round. Another bloke would come round. And then after we did that, that was 2 hours. We used to go and rest for 4 hours. And then another 2 used to come out and we used to take our turn.
Mm. Did you have any...
No, we never... There was one guard, they'd had a bit of a fun. We had shots going one night. Because it wasn't very far from the barracks room. And they said that there'd been somebody trying to raid the factory. They said they got him, like... Mm.
Was this considered a good duty for a company?
It was a good duty. It was more like a guard duty. Because when we were on duty, we used to do our PT on the morning when we weren't on the guard. And then other times we used to spare football and cricket. Because there was a field just behind. Mm. And I think, I think it lasted about a month. Then we moved back to Bodypore, and then we started doing quarter guards, like the... But instead of being all full equipment, we just used to have pouches and that on. Mm. But we were full dressed in full khaki a KD uniform, tunics and everything.
What were you guarding? Where were you taking?
Just around the barracks. And the guard room. And we used to stand on parade, and you know, there was a sweat, used to pour over because we had the old grey khaki shirt on, you know. And the vest, we had to have a vest on, ordinary singlet. We had to have a khaki shirt on, and we had to have all the buttons on, and the tunic fastened right up the neck. And they had shorts on and long putties. It was a standing parade. And that was when the stick men was on that one as well. But I never got a stick there. And then we marched to the guard room, and then there was two sentries on all the time on the platform. And then at night time, through the day, all the officers used to come round and inspect the guard. Or if the CO was anywhere around, he would pop over and we used to turn the guard out. He could get it turned out only once a day. He could only, that's one guard, would only turn out to the CO once. And the audio officer during the day once. But at night time, the audio officer used to come maybe 2 o'clock in the morning. And you had to turn the guard out then. Because we used to challenge him. We used to say, halt, who goes there? And we saw him coming up late. And we had big searchlights. There was about five big searchlights on the veranda. And they used to light the whole place up. And when they used to say, all the officers are visiting, they used to put the switch down and whee the light. It would light the whole place up. But many times, you get some daft second lieutenant or something new or something. He'd come sneaking up. And many times he didn't acknowledge the challenge. And one of his nearly got shot. He was challenged three times and he didn't answer. And he held back, the bloke held back. He shouted. He said, if you don't answer again, he said, I'll shoot you. He answered. Mm.
The conditions you were living in
tents was quite good. There was and they were called bell tents, and there was six in it, and we used to lie on the floor and ground sheet. And when we were out there, we were issued with a green mat was and we used to That was going on the ground. It was waterproof underneath. And we used to lie on that. And we had a polyas. It was all one big... It was shaped like a man. See? It was 4 feet at the bottom, and then it widened at the top. And then it had a pillar on. And we used to fill that with straw. And then when he moved anywhere, when we went to Ishavari, we had to empty all the straw out. And fill it, when we got up there, fill it again. And we used to wrap our blankets in this, dirty or something they called it. It was green. And we had a rope. We showed you the proper rope. And we was tied. And we had a label. It was about 4x3. Johnny Bullen still got his, what do you call it, a bed card. With your name, with your number, it had the regimental badge on, and then it had your number and your name and your company, A Company, Durham Light Infantry. And I think that was what it had on, can't remember now. And we used to fasten that on our, and it was put on the AT card, cart, to take it up to drawn by horses. Well, they weren't drawn by horses, they were drawn by mules in India.
AT card, what's the AT?
I don't know which.
Army transport?
It was like a big lorry with four wheels on and two mules on. Of course, there was no. The infantry had no motor transport in them days. That's how we used to wrap our bedding up. And then we got. Now, when was it? Well, after we came back from Ishafor, we went into barracks. Because B Company had gone up to Ishafor, and we went and changed barracks over. And we spent, I forget how long we were there, but our next move was to be moved up to the hills in the Himalayas, a place called Libong, a Darjeeling, you've heard of it. And we got the train up to, that station below where it was a changeover. And we went on this very miniature railway. It was only a 2 foot wide gorge, and it had three carriages on. And I think there was about four trains, took all the company up. And it was to go up as far as the train. I think we should have made some photographs somewhere of the train. And it also, there was also a chap on the front, an Indian on the front, in case it stopped, and he used to throw an anchor out. So we'd come back over. And there's one part of the track where we went up, and if you were in the front, your back end was there. It was going around, and it went up the Himalayas, and it just goes so for a certain distance straight up like that. Now for certain years ago, we shunt back, and then go up another line like that, in stages. Ah. And then there was one part where we went round. And we looked over, and there were a couple of thousand feet down below, and it went right round in a big circle. Then we got up to into Darjeeling.
Was this for the hot season?
It was during the summer. And then we...
Where were you accommodated there?
We went to Darjeeling, and then we marched down to Libong, a place called Libong. There was a small race course there, and they were accommodated in huts just the same. And we spent there, we did hardly any training. We did some rifle shooting. And, this is a good laugh. We used to march about 5 mile on the hills, round the hills, to this rifle range. We used to get there. And you couldn't see they couldn't see the targets for clouds. You used to spend about 2 hours there, right off, pack up, go back to barracks, didn't fire a shot. Could finish out. We went there, and sometimes we got there. We used to get maybe about maybe 500 yards, and then the 200, and then they used to say, "Oh, this cow's come over," and we never got. We were supposed at in them day. Then we had to fire 800 yards. There was 800 yard range. We never got to fire it. There's clouds. The clouds covered it. And then we did. Then I went to school there. And that's when I passed my second class certificate of education. So we. Spent a nice time, but we used to go up to Darjeeling. We used to get horses. There used to be these small ponies, and the chap used to be there. And we used to say, I think it was 6, 10 hundreds, I think. I forget now, but no, it wasn't much. We used to ride this horse up to Darjeeling, and he'd say, well, what we'll do is, oh, there'll be somebody at the top to pick you up to. Get it. I mean, we still enjoy ride up on these. They're all the saddles and bridles, and they were grand little ponies. And they used to come out to the pitches at Darjeeling, just to get away on the horse and ride down to Libong, down at the. There was like a small race course.
Can you take me through a typical day in Darjeeling, Mr. Bateman?
Well, we used to get up, make our beds up as usual. Then we used to go to the cookhouse. Get our breakfast, then come back, and then we should get on normal PT parade. And then we used to go and get, after the PT parade, we used to go to school. And we would spend from 9 to 11 in education. That was every day. And then we should join the platoon, whatever they were doing. Maybe they were on rifle drill, maybe they were on musketry. And then we should get dinner, 12 o'clock. And then 1 o'clock, we used to start sports. We used to go, there was a small race course there. I think it was the smallest one in the world. It was like a circular one. And we used to either, we could play cricket, just depends who was on, or you could, the company would have the 5-a-side football. There was never nearly 11-a-side in the company. There was 5-a-side football. And you could play hockey. And then that just lasted nearly all afternoon. And then we used to come back into the, get tea. And you used to either get ourselves dressed, and then we used to go to Darjeeling to the cinema, because there was no cinema in the camp. Now, there used to be some other things we used to do. On a weekend, it was a very prominent thing. I always used to say, would you like to see the sunrise over Mount Everest? And we said, oh, yes, we'd like to go. So we set off one Friday night. He says, we'll have to set off just after tea. And we walked up these hills and we climbed to about nearly 11,000 feet. It took us all night. And what a wonderful sight that was when we saw the sunrise over Mount Everest. Mm. He says, everybody has to come. And we spent there about maybe 2 hours looking around, seeing the sights. Then we had to march, walk back again. And that was just to take us right up to Saturday night, nice and tired, and go to bed. And the usual Sunday morning was church parades. Mm. And then one time we said, right, oh, we have, I think it was not so long after, we decided to have a look down to the tea plantations, down in the valleys. So we used to set off there one morning, I think it was Saturday morning. And there was about 6 of us, and Vincenzo, and they also go down, and it was down these winded roads, and it was to visit these Englishmen in these, there was Brugbond's tea there, and they were always pleased to see you. And we used to have tea. And we said, right, oh, we'll go a bit further down. And we used to go right down into the valley, and we used to drop nearly 9,000 feet. We used to go down. And they said, the NCO, they must have been there before, because he said, you see where the pineapples grow. And there was acres upon acres of pineapples in the valley. So we spent about a couple hours down there walking around, like, and then we decided to set off back again. So we gave a different route and we came to another plantation, tea plantation, and it was dinner, it was tea time, I think, then, because we had sandwiches with us before. And we were getting very tired. Yeah, this climate, this wandering up and down. You maybe go 1,000 feet, but you maybe walk about nearly 3 miles. They've gone round and round in these circles through these tea plantations, the footpaths, because you couldn't go straight up. And there was a short time there talking to the people. And then we set off again. And by the time we get off, we were jiggered. And it was nearly 10 o'clock at night. Mm. That was
it's been a tremendous experience for people, you lads like yourself, who've never been out of your village, barely.
Oh, yes, never seen. I'll tell you the truth, it was an education. It did educate us. Places I've never seen if I hadn't joined the army. So we decided to, after that, it was competition time. It was best section and best platoon and best company. Well, there was only the one company, A company there. So we set off at the target. So we had to do each platoon and section has to do physical training, has to do run so many miles. The race course is 440 yards round, so that was a quarter mile. You used to go around twice for half a mile. And all this time was clocked and put down. Put down on note, say the sergeant major and then was doing it. And it was all reckoned out. They found out who was the best platoon and who was the best section. I ended up with the second best platoon, and we ended up, and also the best section. We did the best.